By now, Sophie was beginning to feel very thirsty.
May I please have a little water?
Water?
Said the BFG, frowning mightily.
What is water?
We drink it. What do you drink?
Frobscottle,
announced the BFG.
All giants is drinking Frobscottle.
He got up from his chair and went to a second huge cupboard. He opened it and took out a glass bottle that must have been 6 feet tall. The liquid inside it was pale green, and the bottle was half full.
Here is Frobscottle,
he cried, holding the bottle up.
Delumptious Frobscottle.
He gave it a shake, and the green stuff began to fizz like mad.
But look, it's fizzing the wrong way, Sophie cried.
And indeed it was. The bubbles, instead of travelling upwards and bursting on the surface, were shooting downwards and bursting at the bottom.
What on earth are you meaning, the wrong way?
In our fizzy drinks, the bubbles always go up and burst at the top.
Upwards is the wrong way. You mustn't be having the bubbles going upwards. That's the most flush-bunking rubbish I ever is hearing.
Why shouldn't the bubbles go upwards?
I will explain. But tell me first, what name is you calling your Frobscottle by?
One is Coke, another is Pepsi. There are lots of them.
And the bubbles is all going up?
They all go up.
Catastrophous. Upgoing bubbles is a catastrophous dystrophy.
Will you please tell me why?
If you will listen carefully, I will try to explain.
I'll do my best.
Very well, then. When you is drinking this cokey drink of yours, it is going straight down into your tummy. Is that right? Or is it left?
It's right.
And the bubbles is going also into your tummy. Right or left?
Right again.
And the bubbles is fizzing upwards.
Of course.
Which means that they will all come swish-whiffling up your throat and out of your mouth and make a foulsome, belchy burp.
That is often true.
Burping is filthsome. Us giants is never doing it.
But with your drink, what was it you called it?
Frobscottle.
With Frobscottle, the bubbles in your tummy will be going downwards and that could have a far nastier result.
Why nasty?
Because, Sophie said, blushing a little, if they go down instead of up, they will be coming out somewhere else with an even louder and ruder noise.
A whiz-popper!
Cried the BFG, beaming at her.
Us giants is making whiz-poppers all the time. You surely is not telling me that a little whiz-popping is forbidden among human beings?
It is considered extremely rude.
But you is whiz-popping, is you not? Now and again.
Well, everyone is whiz-popping, if that's what you call it. But where I come from, it is not polite to talk about it.
Ridunculous! If everyone is making whiz-poppers, then why not talk about it?
The BFG shook the bottle vigorously. The pale green stuff fizzed and bubbled. He removed the cork and took a tremendous gurgling swig.
It's clummy. Ooh, I love it.
For a few moments, the big friendly giant stood quite still, and a look of absolute ecstasy began to spread over his long, wrinkly face. Then suddenly, he let fly with a series of the loudest and rudest noises Sophie had ever heard in her life. They reverberated round the walls of the cave like thunder, and the glass jars rattled on their shelves. But most astonishing of all, the force of the explosions actually lifted the giant clear off his feet like a rocket.
Whoopee!
He cried when he came down to earth again.
Now that is whiz-popping for you.
Sophie burst out laughing. She couldn't help it.
Have some yourself,
cried the BFG, tipping the neck of the enormous bottle towards her. Sophie opened her mouth, and very gently the BFG poured some of the fabulous Frobscottle down her throat. And, oh, gosh, how delicious it was! It was sweet and refreshing. It tasted of vanilla and cream with just the faintest trace of raspberries. And the bubbles were wonderful. Sophie could actually feel them bouncing and bursting all around her tummy. It felt as though hundreds of tiny people were dancing a jig inside her and tickling her with their toes. It's lovely, she she cried.
Just wait.
Sophie could feel the bubbles travelling lower and lower down her tummy. And then suddenly, inevitably, the explosion came. The trumpet sounded, and she too made the walls of the cavern ring with the sound of music and thunder.
Bravo!
Shouted the BFG, waving the bottle.
Oh, you is very good for a beginner.
The BFG strode across the cave and picked up his dream-catching net.
I is galloping off now to catch some more wopsy-whiffling dreams from my collection. Is you wishing to come with me?
Not me, thank you very much. Not with those other giants lurking outside.
I is snuggling you very cosy into the pocket of my waistcoat. Then no one is seeing you.
Before Sophie could protest, he had picked her up off the table and popped her into his waistcoat pocket.
Is you wishing for a little hole to peep out from?
There's one here already, she said.
She had found a small hole in the pocket. And when she put one eye close to it, she could see out very well indeed. She watched the BFG as he bent down and filled his suitcase with empty glass jars. He closed the lid, picked up the suitcase in one hand, took the pole with the net on the end in the other hand, and marched towards the entrance of the cave. As soon as he was outside, the BFG set off across the great hot yellow wasteland, where the blue rocks lay and the dead trees stood, and where all the other giants were skulking about. Sophie, squatting low on her heels in the pocket of the leather waistcoat, had one eye glued to the little hole. She saw the group of enormous giants about 300 yards ahead.
Hold your breath,
the BFG whispered down to her.
Cross your figlers. Here we go. Is you seen that whopping great one, the one nearest to us?
I see him, Sophie whispered back, quivering.
That is the horriblest of them all, and the biggest of them all. He is called the flesh-lump-eating giant.
I don't want to hear about him.
He is 54 feet high,
the BFG said softly as he jogged along.
And he is swallowing human beings like they are sugar lumps, 2 or 3 at a time.
You're making me nervous.
I is nervous myself. I always gets as jumpsy as a jog-hopper when the flesh-lump-eating giant is around.
Keep away from him.
Not possible. He is galloping easily 2 times as quickly as me.
Through her little peephole, Sophie saw the flesh-lump-eating giant move over to intercept them. He didn't hurry. He just loped over casually to a point where the BFG would have to pass. The others loped after him. Sophie counted 9 of them altogether, and she recognized the blood bottler in the middle of them.
Here comes the runty one,
boomed the flesh-lump-eater.
Ho, ho, there, runty one! Where is you splatch-winkling away to in such a hefty hurry?
He shot out an enormous arm and grabbed the BFG by the hair. The BFG didn't struggle. He simply stopped and stood quite still and said,
Be so kind as to be letting go of my hair, flesh-lump-eater.
The flesh-lump-eater released him and stepped back a pace. The other giant stood around, waiting for the fun to start.
Now then, you little grob-squiffler,
boomed the flesh-lump-eater.
We is all of us wanting to know where you is galloping off to every day in the daytime. The human beings could easily be spotting you and starting a giant hunt, and we is not wanting that to happen, is we not?
We is not,
shouted the other giants.
Go back to your cave, Wanty-One.
I is not galloping to any human being country. I is going to the other places.
I is thinking,
said the flesh-lump-eater,
that you is catching human beings and keeping them as pets.
Right you is,
cried the blood-bottler.
Just now, I is hearing him chittering away to one of them in his cave.
You is welcome to go and search my cave from frack to bunt. You can go looking to every crook or nanny. There is no human beans or stringy beans or runner beans or jelly beans or any other beans in there.
Sophie crouched still as a mouse inside the BFG's pocket. Through the tiny peephole, she watched the giants clustering around the poor BFG. All of them had piggy little eyes and enormous mouths with thick sausage lips. When the flesh lump eater was speaking, she got a glimpse of his tongue. It was jet black, like a slab of black steak. Every one of them was more than twice as tall as the BFG. Suddenly, the flesh lump eater shot out two enormous hands and grabbed the BFG around the waist. He tossed him high in the air and shouted,
"Catch him, man-hugger!"
The man-hugger caught him. The other giants spread out quickly in a large circle, each giant about 20 yards from his neighbour. The man-hugger threw the BFG high and far, shouting,
"Catch him, bone cruncher!"
The bone cruncher ran forward and caught the tumbling BFG and immediately swung him up again.
"Catch him, Tortuga!"
he shouted. Sophie dug her nails into the side of the pocket, trying to prevent herself from tumbling out when she was upside down. She felt as though she were in a barrel going over the Niagara Falls.
"Catch him, meat dripper!
Catch him, gizzard gulper! Catch him, maid basher!
Catch him, blood butler! Catch him! Catch him! Catch him!"
In the end, they got bored with this game. They dumped the poor BFG on the ground. They gave him a few kicks and shouted,
"Run, you little runt! Let us be seeing how fast you is galloping!"
The BFG ran. The giants picked up rocks and hurled them after him. He managed to dodge them.
"Ruddy little runt! Truggy little twit!"
At last, the BFG got clear of them all. Sophie popped her head up from the pocket.
"I didn't like that."
"Phew! Oh, few and far between. Oh, they was in a nasty crotching mood today, was they not? I is sorry you was having such a whirly-gig time."
"No worse than you. Would they ever really hurt you?"
"I isn't ever trusting them."
"How do they actually catch the humans they eat?"
"Sometimes they is swimming in from the sea like fishies, with only their heads showing above the water. And then out comes a big hairy hand and grabbles someone off the beach."
"Children as well?"
"Often chidlers. Little chidlers who is building sandcastles on the beach. That is who the swimming ones are after. Little chidlers is not so tough to eat as old grandmama, so says the child-chewing giant."
As they talked, the BFG was galloping fast over the land. Sophie was standing right up in his waistcoat pocket now and holding onto the edge with both hands. Her head and shoulders were in the open, and the wind was blowing in her hair.
"How else?"
"The meat-dripping giant is preferring to pretend he is a big tree growing in the park. He is holding great big branches over his head. And there he is waiting until some happy families is coming to have a picnic under the spreading tree. The meat-dripping giant is watching them as they lay out their little picnic. But in the end, it is the meat-dripper who is having the picnic."
"Oh, it's too awful."
"The gizzard-gulping giant is lying high up between the roofs of houses in the big cities. He is watching the human beings walking on the street below. And when he sees one that looks like it has a whoopsy good flavour, he grabs it. He is simply reaching down and snitching it off the street like a monkey taking a nut. He says it is nice to be able to pick and choose what you is having for your supper."
"Don't people see him doing it?"
"Never is they seeing him. Do not forget it is dusky dark at this time. Also, the gizzard gulper has a very fast arm."
"But if all these people are disappearing every night, surely there's some sort of an outcry."
"Do not forget that human beings is disappearing everywhere all the time, even without the giants is guzzling them up. Human beings is killing each other much quicker than the giants is doing it."
"But they don't eat each other."
"Giants isn't eating each other either. Nor is giants killing each other. Giants is not very lovely, but they is not killing each other. Nor is crocodile dillies killing other crocodile dillies. Nor is pussycats killing pussycats."
"They kill mice."
"Ah, but they's not killing their own kind. Human beings is the only animals that is killing their own kind."
Sophie kept silent.
I is not understanding human beings at all. You is a human being, and you is saying it is grizzling in Horrigus for giants to be eating human beings. Right or left?
Right.
But human beings is squishing each other all the time. They is shooting guns and going up in aeroplanes to drop their bombs on each other's heads every week. Human beings is always killing other human beings.
He was right. Of course he was right. And Sophie knew it.
Even so, she said, defending her own race, I think it's rotten that those foul giants should go off every night to eat humans. Humans have never done them any harm.
That is what the little piggywig is saying every day. He is saying, I has never done any harm to the human being, so why should he be eating me?
Oh, dear.
The human beings is making rules to suit themselves. But the rules they is making do not suit the little piggywiggies. Am I right or left?
Right.
Giants is also making rules. Their rules is not suiting the human beings. Everybody is making his own rules to suit himself.
But you don't like it that those beastly giants are eating humans every night, do you?
I do not. One right is not making two lefts. Is you quite cozy down there in my pocket?
I'm fine.
Then suddenly, once again, the BFG went into that magical top gear of his. He began hurtling forward with phenomenal leaps. The landscape became blurred, and again Sophie had to duck down out of the whistling gale to save her head from being blown off her shoulders. She crouched in the pocket and listened to the wind screaming past. But this time, the BFG didn't stay in top gear long. It seemed as though he had had some barrier to cross, but having crossed it, he once again slowed down to his normal gallop, and Sophie was able to pop her head up. They were now in an altogether paler country. The sun had disappeared above a film of vapour. The land was flat and treeless, and there seemed to be no colour in it at all. They were in a country of swirling mists and ghostly vapours. There was some sort of grass underfoot. It was ashy grey. There was no sign of a living creature, and no sound at all, except for the soft thud of the BFG's footsteps. Suddenly he stopped.
We is here at last,
he announced, and bent down and lifted Sophie from his pocket and put her on the ground. She was still in her nightie and her feet were bare. She shivered and stared around her at the swirling mists and ghostly vapours.
Where are we?
We is in dream country. This is where all dreams is beginning.
The big friendly giant put the suitcase on the ground.
From now on, we is keeping as still as winky little mices.
Sophie nodded. The BFG opened the suitcase and took out several empty glass jars. He set them ready on the ground with their screw tops removed. Then he stood up very straight. His head was now high up in the swirling mist, and it kept disappearing, then appearing again. He was holding the long net in his right hand. Sophie, staring upwards, saw through the mist that his colossal ears were beginning to swivel out from his head. They began waving gently to and fro. Suddenly, the BFG leapt high in the air and swung the net through the mist with a great swishing sweep of his arm.
Got him!
He cried. He lowered the net. Very carefully, he tipped something absolutely invisible from the net into a jar. He dropped the net and swiftly clapped one hand over the jar.
The top!
He whispered.
The jar top, quick!
Sophie picked up the top and handed it to him. He screwed it on tight. The BFG was very excited. He held the jar close to one ear and listened intently.
It's a wink, Squiffler!
He whispered with a thrill in his voice.
It's even better. It's a fizz wizard. It's a golden fizz wizard.
Sophie stared at him.
Is it really a good one?
A good one? It's a golden fizz wizard. It is not often I is getting one of these. Please be still as a starfish now. I is thinking there may be a whole swarm of fizz wizards up here today. And do kindly stop breathing. You is terribly noisy down there.
I haven't moved a muscle.
Then don't.
The BFG answered sharply. Once again, he stood up tall in the mist, holding his net at the ready. Then came the long silence, the waiting, the listening. And at last, with surprising suddenness, came the leap and the swish of the net. When the second dream was safely in the jar and the top was screwed down, the BFG held it to his ear.
Oh, no! Oh, mince my maggots. Oh, swipe my swoggles.
What's the matter?
It's a truckle humper,
he shouted. His voice was filled with fury and anguish.
Oh, save our solos. Deliver us from weasels.
What are you talking about?
Oh, bash my eye bones,
he cried, waving the jar in the air.
I come all this way to get lovely golden dreams. And what is I catching?
What are you catching?
I is catching a frightsome truckle humper. This is a bad, bad dream. It is worse than a bad dream. It is a nightmare.
Oh, dear. What will you do with that?
I is never letting it go. If I do, then some poor little tottler will be having the most curd-bloodling time. This one is a real kicksy bucktumper. I is exploding it as soon as I get home.
Nightmares are horrible. I had one once and I woke up sweating all over.
With this one, you would be waking up screaming all over.
Is it as bad as that?
It's worse. This is a really whoopsy crop switcher.
You said it was a truckle humper.
It is also a bucked humper and a crop switcher. Ah, you wicked beastie, you.
He cried, holding up the jar and staring into it. Sophie, who was also staring into the glass jar, cried out.
I can see it. There's something in there.
Of course there's something in there. You is looking at a frightsome truckle humper.
But you told me dreams were invisible.
They is always invisible until they is captured.
Inside the jar, Sophie could see the faint scarlet outline of something that looked like a mixture between a blob of gas and a bubble of jelly.
It's wiggling all over the place. It's fighting to get out. It'll bash itself to bits.
The nastier the dream, the angrier it is getting when it is in prison. This one is a nasty, fierce, bog-rotting nightmare. Just look at him splashing himself against the glass.
He's quite frightening.
The BFG started putting the bottles back into the suitcase.
Is that all? Are we going?
I is so upset by this truckle-humping, buck-humping grub-switcher that I is not wishing to go on.
Soon Sophie was back in the waistcoat pocket, and the BFG was racing home as fast as he could go. When, at last, they came again onto the hot yellow wasteland, all the other giants were sprawled out on the ground, fast asleep.
They is always having 50 winks before they go scampering off to hunt human beings in the evening.
He stopped for a few moments to let Sophie have a better look.
Giants is only sleeping every then and now. Not nearly as much as human beings. Human beings is crazy for sleeping. Is it ever occurring to you that a human being who is 50 is spending about 20 years sleeping fast?
I must admit that never occurred to me.
You should allow it to occur to you. Imagine it, please. This human being who says he is 50 has been fast asleep for 20 years and is not even knowing where he is. Not even doing anything. Not even thinking.
It's a funny thought.
Exactly. So what I is trying to explain to you is that a human being who says he is 50 is not 50. He is only 30.
What about me? I am 8.
You is not 8 at all. Human being babies and little chidlers is spending half their time sleeping. So you is only 4.
I'm 8.
You may think you is 8, but you has only spent 4 years of your life with your little eyes open. You is only 4, and please stop higgling me. Titchy little snapper whippers like you should not be higgling around with an old sage and onions who is hundreds of years more than you.
Sophie, peeping out from her pocket, examined the 9 sleeping giants. Most of them were lying on their backs with their enormous mouths wide open, and they were snoring like foghorns. Suddenly, the BFG gave a jump in the air.
By Gumfrog! I is just having the most wopsy-wiffling idea.
What?
Wait. Hold your horse feathers.
He galloped off fast to his cave, with Sophie hanging on tight to the rim of his pocket. He rolled back the stone.
You stay where you is in my pocket, Huggy Bee. We is doing this lovely bit of buck swashling both together.
He laid aside the net, but hung on to the suitcase. He ran across to the other side of the cave and grabbed the long trumpet thing, the one he had been carrying when Sophie had first seen him in the village. With the suitcase in one hand and the trumpet in the other, he dashed out of the cave. When the BFG came near to the sleeping giants, he slowed his pace. He crept on his toes towards the ugly brutes. He went past the gizzard gulper, the blood bottler, the meat dripper, the child chewer. Then he stopped. He had reached the flesh lump eater. He pointed at him. Then he looked down at Sophie and gave her a big wink. He knelt on the ground and very quietly he opened the suitcase. He took out of it the glass jar containing the terrible nightmarish troggle humper. They were about 10 feet away from the flesh lump eater's face. The snoring, snorting noise he was making was disgusting. Every now and again, a big bubble of spit formed between his two open lips, and then it would burst with a splash and cover his face with saliva. Taking infinite care, the BFG unscrewed the top of the glass jar and tipped the squiggling, squirming, faintly scarlet troggle humper into the wide end of his long trumpet. He put the other end of the trumpet to his lips. He aimed the instrument directly at the flesh lump eater's face. He took a deep breath, puffed out his cheeks, and then, woof, he blew. Sophie saw a flash of pale red go darting towards the giant's face. For a split second it hovered above the face, then it was gone. It seemed to have been sucked up the giant's nose, but it all happened so quickly Sophie couldn't be sure.
We had better be skittling away quick to where it is safe,
the BFG whispered. He trotted off for about 100 yards, then he stopped. He crouched low to the earth.
Now, we is waiting for the gun and flames to begin.
They didn't have long to wait. The air was suddenly pierced by the most fearful roar Sophie had ever heard. And she saw the flesh lump eater's body, all 54 feet of it, rise up off the ground and fall back with a thump. Then it began to wriggle and twist and bounce about in the most violent fashion.
Yow!
Roared the flesh lump eater.
He's still asleep. The terrible trog-humpling nightmare is beginning to hit him.
Serves him right, Sophie said.
She could feel no sympathy for this great brute who ate children as though they were sugar lumps.
Save us!
Screamed the flesh lump eater, thrashing about madly.
He is after me! He is getting me!
The thrashing of limbs and the waving of arms became more violent by the second. It was an awesome thing to watch such a massive creature having such mighty convulsions.
It's Jack!
Bellowed the flesh lump eater.
It's the grueful, grunchous Jack!
The flesh lump eater was writhing about over the ground like some colossal tortured snake.
Jack is after me! Oh, spare me, Jack! Don't hurt me, Jack!
Who is this Jack he's on about?
Jack is the only human being all giants is frightened of. They is all absolutely terrified of Jack. They is all hearing that Jack is a famous giant killer.
Save me!
Screamed the flesh lump eater.
Have mercy on this poor little giant! The beanstalk! He is coming at me with his terrible spine-sticking beanstalk! Take it away! I am begging you, Jack!
Us giants is not knowing very much about this dreaded human being called Jack. We is knowing only that he is a famous giant killer and that he is owning something called a beanstalk. We is knowing also that the beanstalk is a fearsome thing and Jack is using it to kill giants.
Sophie couldn't stop smiling. Just then, One of the flesh lump eater's flailing fists caught the still fast asleep meat-dripping giant smack in the mouth. At the same time, one of his furiously thrashing legs kicked the snoring, gizzard-gulping giant right in the guts. Both the injured giants woke up and leapt to their feet. The two of them rushed to the flesh lump eater and began pounding him with their fists and feet. The wretched flesh lump eater woke up with a bang. He awoke straight from one nightmare into another. He roared into battle, and in the bellowing, thumping, rough and tumble that followed, one sleeping giant after another either got stepped upon or kicked. Soon all nine of them were on their feet, having the most almighty free-for-all. Blood flowed, noses went crunch, teeth fell out like hailstones. The BFG smiled a big, wide smile of absolute pleasure.
I is loving it when they is all having a good tough and rumble.
They'll kill each other.
Never. Those beasts is always bishing and walloping at one another. Soon it will be getting dusky, and they will be galloping off to fill their tummies.
As the BFG headed back to the cave, he said quietly,
"We certainly was putting that nightmare to good use, though. Wasn't we?"
"Excellent use. Well done, you."
The big friendly giant was doing his homework. Sophie sat cross-legged on the tabletop nearby, watching him. The glass jar containing the one and only good dream they had caught that day stood between them. The BFG was printing something on a piece of paper with an enormous pencil.
"What are you writing?"
"Every dream is having its special label on the bottle. How else could I be finding the one I am wanting in a hurry?"
"But can you really and truly tell what sort of a dream it's going to be simply by listening to it?"
"I can. Every dream in the world is making a different sort of buzzy hum music. And these grand swashbuckling ears of mine is able to read that music."
"By music, do you mean tunes?"
"I is not meaning tunes."
"Then what do you mean?"
"Human beings is having their own music, right or left?"
"Right. Lots of music."
"And sometimes human beings is very overcome when they is hearing wondrous music. They is getting shivers down their spindles. Right or left?"
"Right."
"So, the music is saying something to them. It is sending a message. I do not think the human beings is knowing what that message is, but they is loving it just the same."
"That's about right."
"But because of these jump-squiffling ears of mine, I is not only able to hear the music that dreams is making, but I is understanding it also."
"What do you mean, understanding it?"
"I can read it. It talks to me. It is like a language."
He resumed his writing. Sophie moved over to read what he had written so far. The letters were printed big and bold, but were not very well formed. Here is what it said. "This dream is about how I is saving my teacher from drowning. I is diving into the river from a high bridge, and I is dragging my teacher to the bank."
"Tell me honestly, if you blew this dream into my bedroom when I was asleep, would I really and truly start dreaming about how I saved my teacher from drowning by diving off the bridge?"
"More. A lot more. But I cannot be squibbling the whole grope-flunkering dream on a titchy bit of paper. Of course there is more."
The BFG laid down his pencil and placed one massive ear close to the jar. For about 30 seconds he listened intently.
Yes,"
he said, nodding his great head solemnly up and down.
"This dream is continuing very nice. It has a very dory hunky ending."
"How does it end? Please tell me."
"You would be dreaming that the morning after you were saving the teacher from the river, you was arriving at school and you were seeing all the 500 pupils sitting in the assembly hall and all the teachers as well. And the head teacher is then standing up and saying, 'I is wanting the whole school to give 3 cheers for Sophie, because she is so brave and is saving the life of our fine arithmetic teacher, Mr. Figgins, who was unfortunately pushed off the bridge into the river by our gym teacher, Miss Amelia Upscotch. So, 3 cheers for Sophie.' And, forever after that, even when you was getting your sums all gunk-swizzled and muggled up, Mr. Figgins is always giving you 10 out of 10 and writing good work, Sophie, in your exercise book. Then, you is waking up.
I like that dream.
Of course you like it. It is a fizz wizard.
He licked the back of the label and stuck it on the jar.
I is usually writing a bit more than this on the labels. But you is watching me and making me jumpsy.
I'll go and sit somewhere else.
No. Don't go. Look in the jar carefully, and I think you will be seeing this dream.
Sophie peered into the jar, and there, sure enough, she saw the faint translucent outline of something about the size of a hen's egg. There was just a touch of colour in it, a pale sea green, soft and shimmering and very beautiful. There it lay, this small sea green jellyish thing at the bottom of the jar, quite peaceful, but pulsing gently, the whole of it moving ever so slightly, as though it were breathing.
It's moving! It's alive!
Of course it's alive!
Well, what will you feed it on?
It is not needing any food.
Everything alive needs food of some sort, even trees and plants.
The north wind is alive. It is moving. It touches you on the cheek and on the hands. But nobody is feeding it.
The BFG stood up and walked over to one of the many shelves and placed the latest jar among the thousands of others.
Please, can I see some of the other dreams?
Sophie asked him. The BFG picked her up off the table and stood her on the palm of one of his huge hands. He carried her towards the shelves.
Over here is some of the good dreams. The fizz wizards.
Would you hold me closer so I can read the labels?
My labels is only telling bits of it. The dreams is usually much longer. The labels is just to remind me.
Sophie started to read the labels. The first one seemed long enough to her. This is what it said. Today I is sitting in class and I discover that if I is staring very hard at my teacher in a special way, I is able to put her to sleep. So I keep staring at her, and in the end, her head drops onto her desk, and she goes fast asleep and snorkels loudly. Then in marches the head teacher, and he shouts, "Wake up, Miss Plumbridge! How dare you go to sleep in class? Go fetch your hat and coat and leave the school forever. You is sacked." But in a jiffy, I is putting the head teacher to sleep as well, and he just crumples slowly to the floor like a lump of jelly. And there he lies, all in a heap, and starts snorkeling even louder than Miss Plumbridge. And then I is hearing my mummy's voice saying, "Wake up, your breakfast is ready." What a funny dream.
It's a ring better. It's whoopsie.
Do you have separate dreams for boys and for girls?
Of course. If I is giving a girl's dream to a boy, even if it was a really whoopsie girl's dream, the boy will be waking up and thinking what a rot-bungling, grint-sludging old dream that was.
Boys would.
These here is all girls' dreams on this shelf.
Can I read a boy's dream?
You can.
And he lifted her to a higher shelf. The label on the nearest boy's dream jar read as follows. I is making myself a marvellous pair of suction boots, and when I put them on, I is able to walk straight up the kitchen wall and across the ceiling. Well, I is walking upside down on the ceiling when my big sister comes in, and she is starting to yell at me as she always does, yelling, "What on earth is you doing up there, walking on the ceiling?" And I looks down at her, and I smiles, and I says, "I told you you was driving me up the wall, and now you has done it."
I find that one rather silly.
Boys wouldn't. It's another ring better. Perhaps you has seen enough now.
Let me read another boy's one.
The next label read, "The telephone rings in our house, and my father picks it up and says in his very important telephone voice, 'Simpkins speaking.' Then his face goes white, and his voice goes all funny, and he says, 'What? Who?' And then he says, 'Yes, sir, I understand, sir, but surely it is me you is wishing to speak to, sir, not my little son.' My father's face is going from white to dark purple, and he is gulping like he has a lobster stuck in his throat. And then at last he is saying, 'Yes, sir. Very well, sir. I will get him, sir.' And he turns to me and he says in a rather respectful voice, "Is you knowing the presidents of the United States?" And I says, "No, but I expect he is hearing about me." Then I is having a long talk on the phone and saying things like, "Let me take care of it, Mr. President. You'll bungle it all up if you do it your way." And my father's eyes is goggling right out of his head. And that is when I is hearing my father's real voice saying, "Get up, you lazy slob, or you will be late for school." Boys are crazy. Let me read this next one. Sophie started reading the next label. "I has written a book, and it is so exciting nobody can put it down. As soon as you has read the first line, you is so hooked on it, you cannot stop until the last page. In all the cities, people is walking in the streets, bumping into each other because their faces is buried in my book, and dentist is reading it and trying to fill teeth at the same time, but nobody minds because they is all reading it too in the dentist's chair. Drivers is reading it while driving cars, and cars is crashing all over the country. Brain surgeons is reading it while they is operating on brains, and airline pilots is reading it going to Timbuktu instead of London. Football players is reading it on the field because they can't put it down, and so is Olympic runners while they are running. Everybody has to see what is going to happen next in my book. And when I wake up, I is still tingling with excitement at being the greatest writer the world has ever known, until my mummy comes in and says, 'I was looking at your English exercise book last night, and really your spelling is atrocious. So is your punctuation.'"
That's enough for now.
"What amazes me is how you ever learned to write in the first place." The BFG crossed the cave and opened a tiny secret door in the wall. He took out a book, very old and tattered. By human standards, it was an ordinary-sized book, but it looked like a postage stamp in his huge hand.
"One night, I is blowing a dream through a window, and I sees this book lying on the little boy's bedroom table. I wanted it so very badly, you understand, but I is refusing to steal it. I would never do that."
"So how did you get it?"
"I borrowed it. Just for a short time, I borrowed it."
"How long have you had it?"
"Perhaps only about 80 years. Soon I shall be putting it back."
"And that's how you taught yourself to write?"
"Oh, I is reading it hundreds of times. And I is still reading it and teaching new words to myself and how to write them. It is the most scrumdiddlyumptious story."
Sophie took the book out of his hand. "Nicholas Nickleby," she read aloud.
"By Doll's Chickens."
"By who?" Just then there came a tremendous noise of galloping feet from outside the cave.
"Oh, here, that is all the giants zip-fizzing off to another country to guzzle human beans."
He quickly popped Sophie into his waistcoat pocket, then hurried to the cave entrance and rolled back the stone. Sophie, peeping out of her spy hole, saw all 9 of the fearsome giants coming past at a full gallop.
"Where is you off to tonight?"
shouted the BFG.
"We is all of us flesh-bunking off to England,"
answered the flesh-lump eater.
"We is fancying a few nice little English chidlers."
"Aye!"
shouted the maid masher.
"It's nowhere there is a giggle house for girls."
"And I know where there is a buggle bug, my boys!"
shouted the gizzard gulper. In a few seconds, the 9 galloping giants were out of sight. "What did he mean?" Sophie said, poking her head out of the pocket. "What is a giggle house for girls?"
"He is meaning a girls' school. He will be eating them by the bundle."
"Oh, no!"
"And boys from a boys' school."
"It mustn't happen. We've got to stop them."
"Oh, there's not a thing we can do. We as helpless as horse feathers."
He sat down on a large, craggy blue rock near the entrance to his cave. He took Sophie from his pocket and put her beside him on the rock.
"It is now quite safe for you to be outside until he is coming back."
"But we can't just sit here doing nothing. How many girls and boys are they going to eat tonight?"
"Many. The flesh-lump-eating giant alone has a most squackling, wopsy appetite."
"Do you always know where they're going?"
"Always. Every night they is yelling at me as they go bootling past. The other day they was yelling, "We is off to Mississippi and Missouri to guzzle them both."
Sophie had never felt so helpless in her life. After a while, she stood up and cried out, "I can't stand it! Just think of those poor girls and boys! We can't just sit here and do nothing! We've got to go after those brutes!"